For centuries, people looked to religion for moral boundaries. Priests and rabbis and imams were the people you turned to if you had questions about sin and salvation, good and evil, and how to tell one from the other. In the future, maybe we'll get better answers from people in lab coats. Sam Harris is a prominent atheist who trained as a neuroscientist. In his new book, The Moral Landscape, he argues that science, not religion, should determine human values. Harris told Steve Paulson that there are right and wrong answers to moral questions, and they're found in science.
The irony, from my point of view, is that the people who tend to agree with me at a first pass are religious demagogues. The only people in our culture at this moment who are absolutely sure there are right answers to moral questions, for the most part, are people who think the universe is 6,000 years old and they got these answers from a voice in a whirlwind. But the problem with getting your morality out of religion is that it separates moral thinking from the actual details of human and animal suffering. And so, for instance, you look at an institution like the Catholic Church. This is an institution that is more concerned about preventing contraception than about preventing the rape of children. It's more concerned about preventing gay marriage than genocide or nuclear proliferation or any other hugely consequential problem.
Those are highly debatable assertions you just made.
They're actually not debatable at the level of what it spends its time doing and at the level of its actual doctrine. The child rape versus contraception issue is just not debatable. People get excommunicated for preaching contraception. Women get excommunicated for attempting to become priests, but the church does not excommunicate priests for raping children. That the church didn't excommunicate a single member of the Third Reich for genocide, and yet it excommunicated Joseph Goebbels for marrying a Protestant. I mean, this is a diabolical inversion of priorities if your priority is human flourishing. And I'm saying the moment you see that our priorities have to be the flourishing of any conscious creature that can flourish, and this is what we must mean by morality. Then when the Catholic Church talks about the moral peril of contraception, we can say that they're misusing the word. They're not offering a framework, an alternate framework of morality that we have to take seriously. They're offering a false one. I mean, they could talk about physics, too. They could talk about the physics of the transubstantiation or the physics that permits the Holy Ghost to be everywhere at once. But they would be misusing the term physics, and it would be the responsibility of any physicist to say, that's not physics. What I'm saying is the moment we admit that a maturing science of the human mind is going to begin to talk intelligently about all of the variables that influence human well-being, we're going to have to admit that some people have no idea what is worth paying attention to in this world and are using words in ways that are useless or worse.
Well, I don't know that we want to get into a big discussion about the morality of the Catholic Church, but of course there is an entirely different strand that you have not referred to, and that's all of those Catholics who have gone into poor areas of the world, who've devoted their lives to trying to help people, especially to help the downtrodden. I mean, that's an enormous thrust of many Catholics.
I wouldn't deny that for a moment. I mean, there obviously people do heroically good things in the name of religion and guided by their faith. But what I would argue is that religion gives people bad reasons to be good where good reasons are available. And having bad reasons behind what you're doing, albeit very good work, often has terrible consequences. So you have Christian missionaries, not just Catholics, but Christians who go into the developing world, go into sub-Saharan Africa, and genuinely feed people and genuinely feel compassion for their suffering. And all of that's to the good. But then, because they're saddled with a variety of dogmas, they do really idiotic and dangerous things, like preach the sinfulness of condom use in villages decimated by AIDS, or they preach the necessity of believing in the divinity of Jesus in communities where Christian-Muslim violence has literally led to the death of millions. And so what I'm saying is that it's obviously a very good thing to go to Africa and heal the sick and feed the hungry, but you can answer that call based purely on a compassionate connection to the suffering of other human beings. And people do this. Groups like Doctors Without Borders manage to do this without believing anything on insufficient evidence.
Mm-hmm. Now, some years back, the biologist Stephen Jay Gould argued that facts and values are in fundamentally different realms, what he called non-overlapping magisteria. And Gould said that science deals with the empirical world of fact and theory, while questions about moral meaning and value fall within the religious realm. Was he just wrong?
Yes.
in making this dichotomy?
Yes, he was, and we are suffering the consequences of that error in many respects, because that has been the currency of that idea is still remarkable, and it's been received as just this crucial insight into the nature of our intellectual life.
And I know a lot of scientists who accept that dichotomy.
It's truly indefensible when you look at the details, and it'll take me just 2 minutes to expose those details. Clearly, his main point was that science and religion represent different areas of expertise, and they just treat different aspects of reality. And that's just obviously untrue when you look at what every religious doctrine purports to be true. So you look at Christianity, for instance. Every serious Christian believes that Jesus was born of a virgin, rose from death, now exists in some form where he can hear people's thoughts and respond to prayers from time to time, and will be coming back to judge the living and the dead at some point in human history. Now, you can say there are Christians who don't quite believe that, but most serious Christians believe something very much like that. All of these claims are proto-scientific claims. I mean, these are, you know, the virgin birth is a claim about biology.
I can see your critique of sort of the religion part of this, the idea that religion only cares about morality and doesn't make truth claims. Obviously, religion does make truth claims. It's a little unclear to me, the other side of this equation, how science really can tell us how to live better, how science can be the basis of morality. Certainly rationality is. I mean, that's kind of what modern civilization is based on. I'm not clear where science fits into that. I mean, neuroscience and, you know, evolutionary biology, those kinds of things.
Right. Well, there's one distinction that we should have in view is because it leads to a little bit of confusion here. We have to distinguish between answers in practice and answers in principle, because there are many scientific truths, and in fact, an infinite number of scientific facts that exist, but we're never going to find them in practice. I mean, it's just, you know, if I asked you how many birds are in flight over the surface of the Earth at this moment, you don't know, I don't know, and no team of scientists could possibly know. There's no Manhattan Project that's going to deliver that information, and yet we know this is a well-posed question that has a very simple answer. It's just a number. And we conduct science and we ask questions about the nature of reality against a background of facts that we know we're never going to uncover, and it would be practically impossible to do so. And yet they're real facts. They're real truths, and it's possible to be right or wrong about them. And if I said, well, actually, Steve, I know there are 15 birds in flight over the surface of the Earth at this moment, you would know that that's a highly implausible guess. And if anything depended on that being right, you wouldn't put any weight on it. Now, one thing I can grant you is that there are some problems in human affairs that are so fantastically complicated that we may never understand them scientifically. But that doesn't mean there are not right and wrong answers that would be scientifically true if we could find them.
Give me one or two examples of how a science-based view of morality can actually help us unravel some difficult moral problems out there.
Well, for instance, you can ask a very simple question. You know, how should you discipline children? You know, there are 21 states in which it is legal to beat children with a wooden board in their schools. And I don't mean just rapping their knuckles with a ruler. I mean really flogging them with a large wooden paddle so hard as to cause real bruising and breaking the skin. Now, so you can ask a very simple question. Is subjecting children to pain and public humiliation a good way to discipline them? And what are the outcomes psychologically and socially when you do this? Now, whatever is true there are right and wrong answers here, clearly. I mean, it clearly matters how we treat children. And it is good to treat them kindly or not based on the outcome of treating them that way and based on what kind of society it creates and based on their experience and your experience doing it and your intentions, the full gestalt of human intention and emotion and whether we flourish together or not in that circumstance. And we can understand that scientifically. Every other question of interest to us about how we can improve our lives in this world is of that character. And granted, some are really complicated and some involve trade-offs between, how do you weight one person's well-being over another's in any instance? And there are situations where there are trade-offs, but clearly the best solutions don't tend to be zero-sum. I mean, the biggest moral problems we face as a civilization, you know, stopping nuclear proliferation and the causes of war and pandemic disease and climate change, I mean, and educating people well, all of these things are good for everybody. There are no obvious trade-offs there, and there are clearly things we want to do, and for good reason. And so I'm just saying that none of this falls outside the purview of rationality generally or science specifically. And yes, so science and science generally, behavioral economics, neuroscience, psychology, social psychology, all of that has to be brought to bear on the kinds of decisions we make.
Sam Harris is the author of The End of Faith, Letters to a Christian Nation, and most recently, The Moral Landscape, How Science Can Determine Human Values. He spoke with Steve Paulson.